My name is Jennifer Edgar and I am a final year dental hygiene student studying at Queen's University Belfast. This podcast presentation is based on the dissertation I developed earlier this year titled Does Non-Surgical Periodontal Treatment and Good Oral Hygiene Have a Positive Impact on Glycemic Control of the Poorly Controlled Diabetic Patient and What is the Role of the Dental Hygienist Regarding this Patient Group? The aims of this podcast is to highlight the bidirectional link between diabetes and periodontal disease, to establish the relationship between non-surgical periodontal treatment and glycemic control, and to explain the role of the dental hygienist within this patient group. The hypothesis of my research was that non-surgical periodontal treatment of a patient with poorly controlled diabetes, along with a good oral hygiene program, would result in an improvement in glycemic control. I chose this topic as diabetes is on the increase and is often a factor in patients' medical histories. Also, since treating patients within the School of Dentistry, I have noticed from my own experience that patients with diabetes are often not aware of the link between diabetes and periodontal disease. This podcast will be a good tool to raise awareness for diabetic patients and diabetic healthcare professionals, as well as dentists and dental hygienists. The main methodology used to construct my dissertation was a literature review. A literature review is an account of what has been published on a topic by accredited scholars and researchers. I used Medline, Google Scholar, PubMed, Cochrane and QSearch during my literature search. Some of the keywords I used were diabetes mellitus, glycemic control, non-surgical periodontal treatment, periodontal diseases and oral manifestations. This enabled me to gather a collection of journal articles related to my topic. I assessed many abstracts to determine which journal articles would be most valuable for the dissertation, and the majority of the research I looked at concluded that non-surgical periodontal treatment does improve the glycemic control of type 2 diabetic patients. Diabetes is a metabolic disorder characterized by hyperglycemia. Chronic, poorly controlled diabetes is associated with retinopathy, nephropathy, neuropathy, macrovascular diseases, and altered wound healing. These are said to be classic diabetic complications. Diabetes mellitus is a known risk factor for periodontal disease, and periodontal disease is sometimes classed as the sixth complication of diabetes mellitus. NICE guidelines state that the prevalence of diabetes mellitus is on the increase. This means that the dental hygienist will encounter this patient group on a recurrent basis. The hygienist should be aware of the clinical signs of the disease in the mouth and its general effects on the body. This will aid in treating the patient's oral conditions, as well as identifying symptoms pre-diagnosis. Insulin is the hormone produced by beta cells within the pancreas. It enables glucose to be passed into the cells of the body. It is released into the blood after the body recognises a rise in blood glucose, usually after eating. An absolute or relative lack of insulin causes the disorder known as diabetes mellitus. There is either too little insulin being produced by the pancreas, known as insulin deficiency, or the cells of the body may resist insulin, known as insulin resistance. An insulin deficiency is normally seen in type 1 diabetes mellitus. This is due to the destruction of the beta cells in the pancreas, therefore no insulin is produced. Insulin resistance is predominantly seen in type 2 diabetes mellitus, where the body produces insulin but responds poorly towards it. A reduction in insulin production by the pancreas can also be seen. Hyperglycemia is the name of the condition when the blood glucose level is too high. The hemoglobin A1c test, or HbA1c, is used to monitor the overall glycemic control in a patient with diagnosed diabetes. The HbA1c test is used widely to assess glycemic control over a 3 to 4 month period. Diabetic retinopathy, nephropathy and neuropathy are considered to be initiated by hyperglycemia, and it participates in the development of diabetic cardiovascular diseases. Prolonged and severe hyperglycemia is associated with systemic and oral complications. Therefore, blood glucose or glycemic control is fundamental to the medical management of diabetes. Patients with diabetes mellitus are immunosuppressed. This is partly due to impaired polymorphonuclear leukocyte or PMN function, particularly with regard to phagocytosis. Diabetic patients also have an altered collagen metabolism, resulting in impaired wound healing. Glucose levels in gingival crevicular fluid and blood may be a result of hyperglycemia in poorly controlled diabetes. This glucose may provide a source of nutrition for the bacteria living in plaque biofilm. The poorly controlled diabetic patient may therefore be much more susceptible to periodontal disease and to a much more severe extent than a non-diabetic patient. Periodontal disease is a bacterial infection which can affect the gingiva and the supporting structures of the teeth. It is one of the most common diseases found within the human population. There are two categories within periodontal disease, gingivitis and periodontitis. Gingivitis is reversible and presents as inflammation of the gingiva. Periodontitis is irreversible and affects the gingiva, cementum, alveolar bone and periodontal ligament, which are the supporting structures of the teeth. Plaque biofilm is one of the causes of periodontal disease, but it cannot be caused by plaque biofilm alone. In the 1960s, it was discovered that the patient's host response plays a critical role in the pathogenesis of periodontitis. Current research shows that the primary cause of the destruction seen in periodontitis is by the body's immune response to plaque biofilm. It was also previously thought that periodontitis occurred gradually, but is now known to occur intermittently, where there are periods of disease activity and inactivity. Periodontal disease leads to inflammation of the gingiva, periodontal tissue destruction, loss of alveolar bone, and in severe cases, eventual exfoliation of teeth. Periodontal disease is usually painless and may not be noticed by the patient until the latter stages of the disease, usually when the teeth become mobile. The pathogenesis of periodontal disease is extremely complex. As plaque bacteria colonise on the tooth surface, close to the gingival margin, the host immunoinflammatory response is initiated. The most relevant bacteria involved in periodontal disease are Porphyromonas gingivalis, Treponema denticola, and Tenorella forsythensia. These bacteria produce endotoxins in the form of lipopolysaccharides, or LPS. The body responds to the LPS by releasing biochemical mediators, including cytokines and matrix metalloproteinases, or MMPs, which activate defence cells such as PMNs and macrophages. These PMNs also release cytokines to increase the infiltration of more PMNs to the site. In addition, these cytokines will destroy healthy gingival connective tissue to create a pathway for quick access to the site. Cytokines that play an important role in periodontal disease include interleukins, prostaglandins, and tumour necrosis factor alpha. PMNs and macrophages will perform phagocytosis on the invading bacterial cells. Although the cytokines released during periodontal disease have pro-inflammatory effects, they also provoke bone loss and ligament breakdown. This occurs when there is an imbalance between bacterial challenge and host cell response. Chronic inflammation induces a state of intense host response. In this state, the host response will begin to harm the periodontium in which it is trying to defend. There are many risk factors for periodontal disease, and as previously discussed, diabetes mellitus is one. Diabetes mellitus and chronic periodontitis are common chronic diseases. A central feature of the pathogenesis of diabetes and periodontitis is inflammation. Poorly controlled diabetes seems to demonstrate a significant link with periodontitis. During my research, one study found that the presence of diabetes increased the risk of developing periodontitis threefold. Diabetes was found to increase the prevalence and severity of periodontitis independent of the effects of age or oral hygiene. Patients with poorly controlled diabetes mellitus are more susceptible to periodontitis due to impaired phagocytosis, resulting in poor host response, impaired fibroblast function, resulting in altered wound healing, high glucose environment in the blood gives bacteria a source of nutrition, and advanced glycosylation end products, or AGEs, are seen in high levels in diabetes, and these AGEs interact with inflammatory cells and produce even more cytokines than is seen in periodontal disease alone. It has been found in many studies that TNF-alpha, a cytokine released in periodontal disease, is a major contributor to insulin resistance. The chronic systemic inflammation caused by periodontal disease, which increases insulin resistance and causes hyperglycemia, is due to the stimulation of inflammatory cytokines such as C-reactive protein, TNF-alpha and interleukin-6. Researchers suggest that patients with periodontitis can experience difficulty controlling their diabetes due to the cytokines which are released in periodontitis. These may exert effects on distant organ systems as they are released into the systemic circulation. Cytokine levels are increased in diabetic patients with periodontitis because there is a hyperinflammatory response to LPS and tumour necrosis factor alpha, interleukin-1, interleukin-6 and C-reactive protein cause further insulin resistance. Periodontal treatment appears to reduce inflammation and periodontal infection, suggesting that periodontal treatment may improve insulin sensitivity by reducing peripheral cytokine levels and therefore facilitating metabolic control of diabetes. A Cochrane review was carried out on this topic, and the overall indication of this was that treating periodontal disease is likely to lead to an improvement in glycemic control in type 2 diabetic patients. The dental hygienist therefore plays an important role in the treatment and care of the diabetic patient. As periodontal disease is recognised as a complication of diabetes, and the treatment of periodontal condition may result in better glycemic control, it is imperative that the diabetic patient receives treatment and information on how to manage the periodontal condition at home. It is therefore reasonable to suggest that by treating periodontal disease and reducing the amount of pro-inflammatory cytokines within the systemic circulation, that insulin resistance will be reduced and the glycemic control of the diabetic patient will improve. The hygienist could potentially play a key role in the treatment of both periodontitis and glycemic control by providing education, oral hygiene information, and non-surgical periodontal treatment.